Yeah, come on, God's got something for you this morning. Can I ask you to stand to your feet and give a Monster Equippers Church Essex welcome to Pastor Milan Pressburger?
It's great to be here. Before we're going to be seated, just put your hand on your heart. And you know, because this is not about me, this is not about what I bring in. This is about if you are ready and open to receive what God prepared for this morning. And if I would preach the apple pie recipe, you know, it's going to bless you because your heart is open.
Yes.
So let's pray together now. Holy Spirit, we honor you. We thank you for your power. And we just pray right now, touch my heart. Touch my life, change and transform me. I want to leave this place this morning changed and transformed. I give you everything. I submit my life to you. And I say, you are the Lord. And come and change me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Greg, you can be seated. It's an honor to be here this morning with you all. And I believe we had a good time yesterday evening. And just before I go into the word, I really want to honor Pastor Gabe. we're making this joke. It's kind of an internal thing. When a few years ago, we were launching the Budapest, Equippers Budapest, and Pastor Barry and Sarah, they were there. And Pastor Miro, who leads and launched the Budapest, Equippers Budapest. So he's there on the stage, and he welcoming everybody. And then he comes to Barry and Sarah and says, Barry and Andrea? Everybody's just like, what? So Andrea. And then Pastor Barry is preaching at our men's conference in November. And one of the guys, I don't know who was it, but again, leading the service. And he's like, and now we can welcome Pastor Gary. So this is an internal joke. Gary and Andrea. Welcome Gary and Andrea. It's cool. But I just really want to honor them for all they done and invested into not only into this church but into this nation, and we were talking. We had some times during these last 2 days, but I really believe there is just about to something change. It's a shift coming. It's a shift coming, and sometimes it's like you are part of something and you don't see it. It's like you have future faith for present revelation. You know, like something is happening around you and you think like, I have faith for it, but you think it's going to happen like next year or in 10 years. But God is just around you and he is just about to do it. And you kind of feel that something is changing and shifting, but sometimes you feel like, I don't know if I'm the right guy or if I'm the right person for this. But I just want to say, I really believe and I sense as the moment as I came, I sense that something that the church is in the shift. The church is in the move. It's in place. It's a good place where God is doing new thing. Yeah. A new thing. And you know, sometimes we think about the new thing, it's like completely new that we never have before. But God also uses some old stuff and reform that and transform that and actually change that in a position and put it in a position when you think like, I would never think about the old stuff this new way. But God is doing this new way. And I just want to prophesy it over you as a church right now that you are in the middle of the shift of the God's thing. And you are not even able to see what God is about to do. But sometimes we don't need to see it fully. We just need to trust God. I was sharing that yesterday. But when we can see it in the spiritual, we can build it. You know, if we see it, we can build it. But in the physical, sometimes like, I don't know. I don't feel like something changed. But in the spiritual, and I want to call you. I want to challenge you. Come on, step out by, you know, in faith, in the spiritual, and start to pray prophetically in the things you want to see in this place, in Colchester, in the Essex area, in the place around you, in your workplace. Start to speak it out in faith. So, Father, we thank you that you are in this place. Father, thank you for all the faithfulness. All the faith was put in this place. All the seed sown in this place. And we declare and we decree the shift is coming. The change is coming. The transformation is here. Father, and we are open. We want it. We want to see it. And we want to be part of it. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you're just about to do. Amen. God is good. God is, I have a one wife, and yeah, I think that's enough. And one wife, and she's a woman, and I think it's important to, you know, we live in a different era now. We have four children. We have three girls and one son, and two of our girls are married already. So we are grandparents. We have two grandchildren, a boy and a girl. Life is good, and we've got a dog just recently, so pray for me. We're leading a church, Equipress Church in Slovakia, and it's great to be a part of the global family. And I just was on the phone with my wife today, and so she sends a love to you. I want to share. And I believe it's something which I really, actually, I was preparing for today, and I was, you know, it was good because I had message ready when I came, and then I came on Friday, and then we were talking, and then I went back to the hotel room, and God just spoke to me, there's something else I want to say. I'm like, no, you know, I already put so many, effort and hours into this. And I really felt that this prophetic message is in this time is important to share and to speak into your life and into your church, and I call it a new era. It's a new era. You know, it's a difference between a new era and a new year. You know, it's a difference between a new decade and a new era. It's a difference. I say, I have a prophetic word for year 24, and it's different when I say I have a word for new era. Because new era have no limits. New era have no boundaries. New era is something God is saying, okay, from now on, right? From now, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your experience is. I don't know where you are at right now. But I say from now on, you know, I love when Bible says, but. You know, like you're reading something and then it says, but. So whenever time when Bible says, but, it's like, come on, something is going to happen. God is about to do something special, something supernatural. This is not like we used to have it. This is not like you used to see it. This is something fresh, something new. And I want to challenge you, be ready and open your heart because God is doing something fresh. Like Isaiah said it, you know, it's sprout. It's coming. It's something is happening underground. When you put the seed underground, it's fighting for the life. Because it needs to break the coat of the seed before it actually grow out of the ground. So the thing is that the process of growth we don't see underground. So we think nothing is happening. But actually life is happening underground. Even may we not see it, but it's happening. But suddenly, you know, it's the season and we love these seasons. When the green stuff comes out and we see things. And I really believe you are in this season of sprout. Yeah. You are season of spring when you will see even the seeds that were sown many years ago. They will come to life. Yeah. Yeah. They will come to life. So I want to read to you from Joshua. From Joshua 1. From verse 5. I will read the whole thing. And then we will go into it. So Joshua 1:5, I start with the 5, verse 5. So no man shall be able to stand before you all these days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, not forsake you. Be strong and good and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide in inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper. Everybody wants prosper? Whenever you go, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in a day and a night, and you may observe to do according to all it's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We all want that. Yeah. Yeah. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people and saying, pass through the camp and command to the people saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within three days, you will cross over the Jordan to go into the possess of the land where the Lord God is giving you to possess. It's a new era. You know, when the new year comes, we celebrate. You know, we celebrate. It doesn't matter what happened in our life. When there is a 31st to the 1st of January, so 31st December to the 1st of January, that night, and midnight comes, all of us like goes, yeah! You know, and sometimes it's hard to celebrate through the difficult situations. It's hard to see something good. But new era is here, and God says, you know, doesn't matter what the situation is right now or how it looks like right now, I am with you. So the verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I mean, this is an amazing promise. Yeah. You know, this is an amazing promise. We can stand on this on every situation in our life. This is it's whatever is happening. We say, yes, God, you told me. You told me you will be with me. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Maybe my financial situation leave me and forsake me. Maybe my husband leave me and forsake me. Maybe I had a problem in my workplace. Maybe I'm facing a most difficult time in my life. But God told me that He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will be with me all the time, all my life, every day. Not 1 week, not 1 month, not the new year, but all the year, all my life, a new era. New era is understanding that God is with me every time, always. Let's go in a little context here. So when we're reading this text Moses and Joshua stepping into the Moses' shoes, and you know the nation is just on the edge of going through after a very difficult time, going through into a promised land. So when you read this text, everything in this text is moving. Like everything is moving but God. You know, everything is changing but God. You know, and this is reminds me like this similar in our lives. So many times things are moving around us, you know, and things could be very different from what we would expect, what we would want. But God is there and He is stable. Yeah. You know, children of Israel in a transition, not only physically but spiritually, after 400 years in the slavery. And after 430 years, you know, they are waiting for a breakthrough. I mean, it's time. Yeah. It's time. And instead of 40 days wandering, they 40 years wandering, and they lost the generations. And they're like, when is going to happen? They are on the edge of a new beginnings. Yeah. They are on the edge of a new era. You know, it's great, but it's difficult at the same time. New era is something excited, like, yeah, but it's also scary. Yeah. You know, it's a kind of mixed emotions. Yeah. It's amazing, but it's scary at the same time. And they are going to possess the land. They're going to possess the land, their home, but actually, they don't know what their home is. They don't know how it's supposed to look like because they've never been there. They never experienced that. The 400 years ago, the ancestors came from that land. But they never possessed the land. And then so they proclaimed, we're going home. We're going home. But what is the home? What is home? They never been there. They don't know what to expect. You know, but it's a prophetic declaration. They say, we're going home. And even the home is something very abstract. They don't know what it is. But the prophetically, they say, they're going home. And sometimes we need to open our spiritual eyes and prophesy our way into the God's things. Yeah. Prophesy in the way, you know, because otherwise we will stuck with the current. Otherwise we will stuck with the standard, with normal, with what we feel, what we experience, what we think. But God says, prophesy. Yeah. Prophesy. And God says, and so God knows this is difficult. God knows it's hard. And that's why he is declaring and proclaiming, hey guys, I was with Moses. And everybody, yeah, we know Moses. You know, it's our guy, it's our leader, it's our man. And he said, I was with Moses. And, you know, same way, and even more, I will be with Joshua. You know, the problem is that the nation is in the situation. They don't know where to go. They're going, but they don't know what to expect. And at the same time, what happened, that Moses went into the mountain and never came back. Moses is dead. So Moses, I mean, it's not just the leader. It's not just the guy. Moses is the father. Moses is the guy who split the Red Sea. Moses is the guy who took them out of the slavery. Moses is everything. Moses is the leader, is the father. So when anything happened, they went to Moses. When they had a problem, they went to Moses. So they are in distress. They thinking like, what's going to happen? Okay, we may are on the edge. It looks good, but Moses is not here. They lost their identity. And God speaks into the identity, and he says, I was with Moses, but I'm with Joshua. I am with you. So sometimes we can be stuck because we don't know who we are. We lost our view of our identity in God, and we can be stuck in the situation because we don't feel like. We don't feel like we can do it. We can go through it. We can get it, you know, and because maybe we prayed 100 times and nothing happened. So we lost our identity that we are the God's children, that we are the one whose Holy Spirit are anointed. You know, that we are anointed one. And every time we pray, something is happening. We may not see it, but something is happening. And we can sense it in the text. Something is happening, you know, and he says, I was with Moses, so I will be with you, will not leave you and forsake you. And being able to go with this, we need faith, and we were talking about it yesterday, you know, that faith is substance of something we hope for, but we don't see. And it's good we don't see, because if we would see it, we would be scared. And would say like, no way, no way. So God knows why we don't see it. And we can trust him. So it is when everything is changing, then our faith has the greatest relevance. Otherwise, when it's a status quo, like everything is fine, everything, we don't need faith. It's okay. We can live. We can go to church. We can go to e-group. We can surf. We can do everything. But we feel like, okay, it's all good, you know. But when things are not so good, when things are moving, but God. Yeah. And he said, your faith has a relevance when things are moving. You know, when future is not certain, faith has power in our life to discover God in this. So let's look at a few things. The first thing here is people. You know, God is about people, right? Church is about people. It's not about what we do. It's about who we are. And And this all, what is happening here is it's not about that God has a plan for His will for the nation, but He uses people to bring His will into the nation. So what He says, you know, Joshua, this is not about you. Because I think Joshua is stressing, you know, he's like, man, Moses is dead. Okay, start to speak something out. Moses is dead. What are you going to do? You know, what people expect, the nation expect from me. But God says, Joshua, this is not about you. This is about the next generation. This is about the next gen. You need to step in, step out by faith and trusting me. You know, you're becoming a Moses Jr. I was sharing the testimony, you know. Our oldest daughter is adopted. And when she came to us, she had different issues and she was already 15. And we as a family, we prayed every night together before the kids went to bed. And she joined us. But every time we prayed, she chuckled, you know, and there was some things happening spiritually. And so we prayed for it. We knew it's a spiritual thing. We prayed and prayed. And you know, weeks go by weeks and things were not changing. And then one night we prayed again and it's happened again. And suddenly out of blue, our son, Reuben, who is here, he was, I think, 9 years old. And just like opened his eyes and he says like, in the name of Jesus, I command you, go, spirit of fear. And there was that one moment like, and she was free. Because there is no, you know, there is no Holy Spirit Junior. There is only Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter if he's 7 years old or 25 years old or 75 years old. You know, it's Moses or Joshua. He has his agenda and he want to do it. And he want to do it through me and through you. You know, the one man was really had a problem with the fear. So he went to a psychiatrist, you know, and he said, oh, I have the problems and so on. The counselor said, you know, okay, so come and see me a few times, you know, I would say 5 times maybe. And he's got, okay, and what is the cost, like, what do you charge? And he said, okay, it's about $100 or, you know, 100 quid a meeting. Okay, so he said, that's a lot of money, you know. So then he went and he never came back. So this psychiatrist was thinking, like, what happened to this guy? And so they met, and he asked him, okay, what happened to you? You're supposed to come, but you never came. And he said, oh, I met a friend, you know, and I was thinking, this is, you know, a lot of money. So I asked him, can you give me some tip? Like, I you know, I'm battling with the fear and so on. I'm always thinking there is something under my bed, you know, that somebody will catch me, you know. And he's like, and the friend said, you know, that's easy. You just cut the legs of the bed. And save money, you know. Sometimes, you know, it's just important to see that there is a people around you that you are not alone in the battle. You are not alone, and Joshua wasn't alone, you know. So Joshua stepping into this, and you know, and God is about to do some amazing things. And he says, be strong and good courage. And I want to say it, you know, like about you, like I want to say it prophetically, be strong and good courage. Because the things are going to happen here. Yeah, yeah. Needs people who are strong. Yeah. Needs people who are good courage. Yeah. And then God repeated again and again. Because that's the prophetic word, that's the prophetic proclamation. Be strong and a good courage. Yeah. You know, I believe the church needs strong people. Yeah. I mean, I'm not theologian, but I love theology, but I'm not theologian, you know, we need theologians, but, you know, we need in the church people who can preach well, who can sing well, who can do things well, all that we need, you know, but most what we need is a strong people. People who know who they are. People who stand on the promise of God. And every time when they battle, you know, they know which direction to decide. There is only the promise or the problem. And I choose the promise because I believe the promise is something I'm going to stand on. God is in it and will take me through. What am I ever about? So establishing the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life, making us strong people. It's not like I'm 25 years old Christian, you know, like I know everything. Or I'm just got saved 2 months ago, you know, I have nothing. No, it's about deciding I'm going to establish Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. And every situation that happens in my life, I will ask God, what is your opinion? Jesus, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to react? Establishing Lordship means He is really the Lord of everything in my life. So the presence of God is everything for me. The presence of God is everything in my situations. You know, in this new era, I believe it's the main thing is the presence. It's the presence. Because there is happening everything in His presence. And I'm not just talking about the presence, pardon me, presence on the stage. I'm talking presence wherever you are. At home, in Shabbat, you know, in your workplace. The presence goes with you. The presence goes with you. You know, when they were going through the Jordan, the first thing went through the Jordan was the presence of God. So the presence is important in God in every situation. So it seems like we're talking here in the promised land. So the nations of Israel is there on the edge, going to the promised land. You know, and we know this word, promised land. But when you look at the text, you will find out it's not so much about the land. It's much more about the promise. It's not so much about the property. It's much more about prophetic. You know, it's so when you have a promise and presence, then you will get the property. But when you have a property and with no presence, you have nothing. So promise land is important, but a promise is His presence. So the second thing is a promise. I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I am with you. And I just want to say, I know it sounds like, oh, I heard this like a million times. But I want to say it prophetically right now into your life. Whatever you are right now, you're standing, you're fighting, you're battling, you know, something is happening. God says this. God says, this is not me. This is God says, I am with you. I am with you. And maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking like, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm really believing God. You know, I said, okay, that's fine. You know, you can stay. It's free. But God is with you as well because He loves you. He gave everything for you. His Son died on the cross because of you. He loves you. The promise is He is with you in His presence. In His presence. The promise is bigger than the property. It's bigger. If you can get presence, you will get the property. All by itself, you know, everything you need. As we know, if you searching for the presence of God, kingdom of God, you know, everything else will be added to you. Yeah. So the promise, I will be with you. You know, God promises. His not promises no fight. His not promises like easy things, but He says in the fight I will be with you. Yeah. Through the fight I will be with you. I got you, other words. I got you. I will be with you. I got you. You know, on and in our life, we need to learn how to lean into presence. Yeah. Instead of trying to do everything else. You know, sometimes we think like, okay, and when it comes, when we are in trouble, like first things you do, you know, you Google. You know, you got sick or something, you Google. You read the papers from the doctor and you Google it and you're like, oh, you know. Sometimes you're going to call a friend or go to the family member and say and share. I mean, nothing bad with that, but you know, where is the old school? Where is the old school going to your knees and saying, God, help me. You know, I like when the prophets, Old Testament, you're reading about the prophets, and they said, and they something you're reading about the situation, and then it says like, and then the word of God came to, you know, Jeremiah. Yeah. Where is this old school style? Oh, I was battling financially, but then I went to my knees, and then the word of God came to me, and suddenly I knew what to do. I knew what kind of decision I supposed to do. You know, we need to go back to the basics, go back to these things. That we trust God and we search God and we search His presence. The third thing here is a priority. Yeah. In a new era, it's important what you prioritize. Yeah. You know, especially today, you know, church can become everything. Church can become, you know, so many things. But and it's so many and so different churches around the globe. But what is the priority? I'm not want to speak, you know, but you can see churches around which they're open for everything. But what is the priority? If Christ is a priority, you will see it. Yes. Things will be very different. Yes. So Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in the day and the night. And then you may observe to do according to all this is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And I just want to speak it over this church. Good, you know, you will be prosperous and good success. Not because you do A, B, C, D. Not because you did the right things. I mean, we want to learn. We want to grow as leaders. We want to be in an environment where the creativity and everything, you know, different ways how we can reach, how we can speak, how we can do things. But the main thing is the main thing. And main thing is not how we do it, but for who we do it. Main thing is Jesus. Main thing that we actually know that in His presence, in His presence there is miracles, that in His presence there is healings, that in His presence there is power, that in His presence there is transformation, and everything is changing. Everything is shifting when Jesus comes in. We can be desperate. We can be broken. We can be want to die. When Jesus comes in, it changes everything. It changes everything. That's the priority. Loving His presence, loving presence of God, is that you love Him for He is, for who He is, not for who He's, for what He's got. I mean, we know He's got a lot. But when we love Him for who He is, we will receive everything He's got. It's His presence. But you are desperate, you think like, I don't know, I'm done. And even right now, I just feel, you know, brokenness in the room. I just feel lost in the room. And I just want to speak prophetically and say, and call you, come to His presence. He's ready to shift. He's ready to change. He's ready to bring something fresh and new. And it requires that coming to Him and knowing the priority is the presence. When we seek kingdom of God, everything will be added to us. Even in our devotions, you know. I don't know if you are good in your devotions every day. And it's great to be in a church with bunch, you know, and worshiping and jumping and all that. But actually, it comes to the point where it's about how often you are with the Lord. How is your personal relationship doing right now? You know, devotion anchors us in our life because our life's like up and down. Yeah. That's normal. That's normal. Like, I'm a great Christian. I never have a problem. And I'm a pastor. So that's like, I never have a problem. And it's like few generations, like my father, my grandfather, my ancestors, they're all the pastors. Man, I don't even pray. Things just happens. Yeah, that's my story, but I want to share. You know, I don't want to bore you with my story. No. But, you know, devotion anchors us. You know, like, I like when people say like, oh, we are happy married for 30 years. Like, define happy.
Yeah.
I would say we are together 30 years, battling up and down, you know. Up and down, baby. But we will do it because God is in the middle. So let's be real. But at the same time, let's understand the presence of God is the main thing. That's changing. You know, we were just talking this morning about the gym, you know, and going to gym is like, takes a lot of money and the energy. That's why I'm not doing it. But, you know, it's an effort. You need to, you know, kind of every day or twice a week or whatever, you go to gym and you do the things, you know, and then you look at the person, it's like, yeah, this guy goes to gym, you know, you can see it. As you can see, I'm not the gym guy. But, you know, it's the vision, you know. I want to build something, you need to do something. And the last thing, you know, I want to share with you is a purpose. Is a purpose. So, so when we look at it, it's His presence is the main thing, and we're talking about people, we're talking about promise, we're talking about presence, and one more thing about presence before we go into the purpose, you know, You know the story, or maybe you know the story when Israel nation went through the desert, you know, and God was feeding them every day with manna. Interesting thing is that He was giving them fresh manna every day, but it wasn't like manna come, you know, like open your mouth and God would put the manna into your mouth. It was like it was in their reach. So God gave them provision, but it was about them to reach out. You know, sometimes God give us a provision and we're like, why God doesn't speak to me? Why God doesn't do this? Well, I seen that. I seen in His life, in her life, everything is good. But for me, why? Because God gives a provision, but you need to reach out. It's in your reach. It's in your reach. It's about you need to reach out. God, I am here. But, you know, and the amazing thing is before they went in through the Jordan, He changing the style of a feeding program. He's going from manna to their own thing. And He says, that's why He, in the last verse we were reading, I think it's verse 11, it says, and prepare your provisions or your groceries. In other words, learn how you're going to cook for yourself because I'm done with manna. I'm done with feeding you. And sometimes we start to be grumbling like, oh, it was good days when God was speaking to me, but God was providing for me. But what about now? But you know, God is still providing. He just changed the style. And it's in your reach. You actually reach out and say, God, I'm here. And if you are in His presence, Holy Spirit speaks to you and you know what the step you need to do to actually reach out. But if you have no anchor in your devotion, if you're not in His presence, if you not build that, you're always waiting for somebody to feed you. You're like, yeah, this is church. This church is not about the feeding program. This church is about the people who decided to feed others. This church is about the people who decided to reach out. This church is about the people to reach out to this community and see the transformation, not only here, but through here, out to different places. Amen?
Amen.
The purpose. Moses died, but God's purpose didn't. Maybe it's a dead season. Maybe there is things and dreams and stuff that all died. And you think like, that's it, I'm done. I'm leaving the church, I'm leaving the group, I'm leaving my faith, whatever. It could come to this point even. And sometimes things are dying, but God's purpose didn't die. We just need to go into His presence to getting the fresh revelation. You know, I don't know what was your last revelation, what the expiry of your last revelation is, but you need the fresh revelation every day. What God want to do in your life and with your life. You know, God can use authority in any life. but He wants to use it in your life. Not to use you. He knows you. He knows all the problems, all the obstacles. He knows all your talents. He knows all your failures. And He decided, I love you. I'm going to use you. It's going to be fun. I'm going to use you. And the verse 8 says, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have a good success. I just want to finish with this. The purpose is always what we pray. You know, we can pray problems always. Like Israel nation was always praying problems. It was always speaking problems. But it's different when we pray promise and not a problem. Praying promise is a prophetic declaration. Because we believe that God done it, He's going to do it again. He done it, He's going to do it again. You know, I was just sharing today that I was traveling different nations and praying for people, and sometimes when I get back home, you know, I felt like, oh, God was doing amazing work in Thailand, in India, in Africa, and in Argentina, you know, in different places. And I came home to my church, and I'm doing the same thing, I'm praying same prayers, and like, where are you? You know, and I felt like, why? And then I find out, like, this is not about the people, it's about me. And about me bringing the understanding, the hunger is the trigger to God's miracle. And then what we started was that with our prayer meetings, I always started to encourage people, okay, guys, where's the problem? Let's pray for a miracle. You pray. You know, it wasn't like an anointed guy come and lay hands and everything gonna happen. It's like you, I never did it, I don't know. You know, and suddenly God was starting to do things. And I remember 2018 and 19, God did amazing miracles. There was a guy with the 9 tumors in his throat. And you know, he went to the hospital. He had scans and he had papers with the 8 tumors, different sizes. You know, and he came to the prayer meeting and he said, you know, I want to be healed. So I sent another guy who was already healed from hepatitis C, and I was like, you got it because you have a testimony. And that's the power of the testimony. The word testimony in the Old Testament means like God can do it again. So if He did it for you, He can do it for him. So go and pray and we're going to support you. So he lay hands on him. He prayed for him. You know, we pray everything. Next day, guys goes to the doctor. They scan him once, twice, 3 times because they don't believe what happened. There was no tumors. You know, and he comes back to church. And he shares testimonies. And now other guys like, I want to do the same thing. I want to experience the miracle. And God was just starting to do something. It actually happened that there was a couple of guys going the street in our city or in our town every day to talking to people about the miracles and the faith. And when they started, it was probably 10% people responding like they were even able to talk. Other people like, you know, get lost. But As they were doing it, and we were doing it like every week, after 1 year, it was 50% people were responding. After 2 years, there was 75% or maybe 80% people responding for a talk and a prayer. And I'm not saying everybody ended up in a church and everything, but we don't do it because we don't have everybody in the building. We do it because the salvation is from heaven, it's from God, and we want to see people in heaven. Of course, we want to see people in the church, and we do everything to you know, together. But the main thing is the people to be saved. And we want to see salvation and healings. Father, and I just pray right now and I declare it, Lord, in the season of a new era, there is a time of miracles and salvations. Father, I pray there will be salvations after salvations after salvations and salvations. Lord, I pray there will be moment where you're going to do the miracles, the creative miracles, Lord, and people will hear in the city. Something happened. Oh, those people went there and there, this and that happened. Lord, I just pray for a wave of communication, the wave that people will talk to people will happen, Lord, and it will be shared. And I just pray, Lord, there will be a salvation, genuine salvations. that people come to you and their life will be transformed. I pray that alcoholics will be delivered, that drug addicts will be delivered. Lord, I pray that there are people who just get lost in life and they had terrible situations. They suddenly will be found by somebody and late, and they will be led to you, Lord. I just declare it right now. This is a new era. It's time for salvations and miracles. And God want to use you. God want to use you. You know, Hezekiah, 2 Kings 21, 6. But I want to not read it all. But Hezekiah was ready to die. The prophets were saying, you're going to die. I mean, this is it. You, bye. Hello. And he was so... I don't know what word to use, but he wasn't listening to this because he felt there was something more to happen. And he started to pray. And he prayed this, 2 Kings 23. He said, remember now, O Lord, I pray how I have walked before you in truth and with your loyal heart and have done what was good in your strength. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. You know what happened when he prayed? God added 15 years to him. Because he has faith, something is happening. Sometimes we can hear voices in our situations. And some of the voices could be good, and some of them are not good. But we need to go back to the presence to hear the one voice, the voice of God, what God is saying, what God is telling. We pray now. I really believe this church is moving. It's moving forward. You know, I believe in this new era, what is important is defined. If you are, and maybe this sounds to you what are you talking about? But maybe it's like, if you are with the church, if you are with the vision or not, you can still come and enjoy. But the question God is asking, you know, I'm about to shift. Are you in? Are you in? And you know, I just want to encourage you and say, I really believe that that God is about to do some things here, and which will be really visible and will be known in not only in the area. I'm not saying it because I want to be nice to you or I like Pastor Barry and Sarah. I'm not saying it because I say it because I believe it. Came to a point where God say, yeah, you ready for this, you know. And I just want to challenge you, if you want to say, God, I'm in it, because that's not cheap in it. It means like, I give everything, I submit to you, I submit to this vision, I submit financially, I submit physically, I submit spiritually, I go for it, I'm with the flow, I'm with God, I'm with the pastors, I'm with the vision. I mean, you can go million churches, we can have a good time, but it's only one place you can say, I submit myself, I'm going with this vision. And the question today is, God is doing something, He's shifting something, He's moving something here, and He says, I need you. So if you feel this, like, yes, this is me, I'm in it, you just stand up where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And maybe this is unusual, but and hopefully this is not will take you in an uncomfortable place. But you know, and if yes, that's okay. But you can turn to somebody around you. Just lay hands on the person, on right or left, or you know, before you or after. You know, just. Can one or two, I mean two or three or four, that doesn't matter. Just start to pray. You know, don't speak to each other, just start to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Just start to release the prophetic, start to release the anointing, start to release the blessing, start to release the unity. Because what God says, there is a unity where two or three come together, and there is a unity and there's an anointing release, a new kind of anointing. breaking every yoke. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are together in this place. We are together in this place and we honor your presence, Lord. We honor your presence. We worship you. We glorify you. Jesus, thank you for everything you've done over the years. For everything was done over the years, Lord, in the generations. But we know, Lord, we know we're standing on the edge of a new era. Something is happening. Something, come on, church. Something is happening and I want to be in. I want to be part of it. Lord, I'm here and submitting myself. I'm submitting everything I have, I own, I am to you, Lord, because I want the only thing I'm desire for is to be in your presence, is to go where you send me, is to do what you send me to do, Lord. I'm here, Lord. I'm here, Jesus. Father, I just pray for these wonderful brothers and sisters right now, and I declare the power of unity creating this platform for another level of growth, for another level of growth and move of God. Father, I pray for move of God, Lord. I pray for move of God on the streets of Colchester. Lord, I pray there will be a fresh anointing on the church. There will be a fresh anointing. Lord, I pray there will be an understanding of your promise that you are with them, you are with us, and you never leave us and forsake us, Lord. That in your presence we can go in a new era, what you prepared for us. We want to step in right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just start to celebrate. Just start to celebrate. Just start to worship and celebrate. You are God. You are God. We celebrate. We celebrate. Prophetically, we celebrate new souls. Prophetically, we celebrate new income. Prophetically, we celebrate new era. Prophetically, we celebrate new level of authority, new level of anointing right now. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise. Let's worship. Let's praise. Let's worship. And let's thank God for everything.